Along about that time, 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated. You remembrance of that day?
Oh, I remember. I was walking down the sidewalk in Main Street in Purcell when I heard the news. Terrible, terrible shock.
Yeah. The country was in mourning for days.
Yes.
All you heard was somber music on the radio.
Oh, sad time.
Yeah.
A frightful time.
Yeah.
You know, that was really the beginning of the loss of our innocence.
Then you acquire the Federal National Bank of Shawnee in 1966. Purcell wasn't big enough for you. You had to move on.
Well, multiple reasons. I, again, saw the opportunity. Oklahoma, along with Mississippi, was the only two states in the country that limited one bank owned by one corporation with no branches. I enjoy telling the story. We had 550 banks. And probably 100 competent bank presidents. Anyway.
So most of them could have been in trouble.
Well, during those years, it was a monopoly. So you couldn't get a bank in trouble if you just invested in government bonds because you could only pay so much interest because there was an interest cap. The only way you could get a bank in trouble would be totally incompetent or dishonest, one way or the other. Amongst that 550, there were an adequate number of incompetent, dishonest bankers.
So
but
what
the bank in Shawnee, it had gone through several hands. One of the owners was a guy named Jack Sisko, who was the referee at the OU-Texas game, which he made a call that let University of Texas win. So when he came to Shawnee, people say, how'd you come here? Well, he said, they threw all those pop bottles at me. I picked them up. I sold them, and I bought this bank. Well, you can imagine how successful he was. So anyway, I started telling you. There were about five owners during a period of 5 years. The founder was a very good banker and became my mentor and friend. But anyway, the last man that I bought was an oil man. And of course, oil was $3 a barrel. Didn't make any difference, no fluctuation in price. But he was so religious, he was convinced if he drilled a well, that God would move the oil to his well. We had a lot of oil income. He goes to Dallas and borrows the money to buy this bank based on his oil income. Well, the first month, what they discovered was his cost of lift exceeded the gross revenue, so he was what we call a first pay default. So they were very anxious to have somebody take over that bank. I'd gotten acquainted with him because I had hired a man to work for the bank that was well acquainted with banking around the state. So the chairman of the board of Mercantile Bank in Dallas, Red Bank, said, we'll finance you. So I bought the Federal National.
That reputation of yours of hard work paid off then to buy the Federal National Bank of Shawnee.
Well, yeah, the Purcell Bank led to Shawnee.
You formed a bank holding company.
I worked for 30 years, or 25 years more appropriately, trying to change the laws, liberalizing what we could do. And it was 1985 before you could have a multi-bank holding company, meaning that the corporation could own more than one bank.
What is a bank holding company?
Well, it's just a corporation that owns a controlling stock of a bank. For example, Bank First is 100% owned by Bank First Corporation. We have a variety of different operations within, owned by not Bank First, but by Bank First Corporation.
You went from having no interest in a bank that had less than $1 million in deposits in Noble. You are now majority stockholder and president of a bank with $15 million in deposits, all in less than 8 years. Are you feeling pretty good?
I didn't pay much attention to that. Just all I did was work.
But you made wise decisions.
I did, and took a lot of risk now. You know, again, if you're young, you don't have much to lose. You can afford to take risk.
Okay, tell us about a risk or risks that you might have taken.
Well, every time I bought a bank, I had to borrow a lot of money.
What kind of money?
I ended up buying some 45 banks over my career. At the peak, I didn't owe the money, but how we would structure, you'd buy a bank. After you had run the bank for enough years to accumulate equity so as to get the regulators to approve the transfer of so much debt from yourself to the holding company. Well, I had 45 holding companies. But when I did that, I had to guarantee the debt. So it was all tied together. At the peak, I probably had $50 million in debt.
Did any of that keep you awake at night?
Only when interest rates got to 20% in 1980.
Then it bothered you.
It bothered me.
How did that work out?
Fortunately, at that point, I'd been in the business long enough and had owned a few banks long enough that the dividend power of the banks I'd owned could carry that. We sure couldn't pay any principal.
That's the key, isn't it, to business people, to be willing to take risks.
Yes, but you should take no more risk than you can afford to lose.
Right.
Otherwise, you really might as well go down to the casino.
You didn't fail at any of those
no,
risks.
No, did not.
And you were very fortunate?
Fortunate would be the word, because all of my life, and I probably would include today, I've had people that wanted me to succeed. When I bought the bank in Purcell, C.A. Vos at First National had financed this young man because he had known his grandmother. The first person I went to see, of course, was C.A. Vos because he had the loan in the bank. He took me up to Beacon Club. We met, and he was nice. They said, no, really, all we want to do is get paid. Okay, that's fair enough. But I had established enough network that Grady Harris, who was president of the Fidelity Bank, said, Gene, I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll lend you the money to buy your share. I'll become your personal partner, and I'll give you an option to buy back my stock when you're in a position to. Otherwise, well, Grady, I wouldn't have bought the bank in Purcell. And J.D. Francis, who was a major player in Dallas, said, you know, I like you. We're going to finance. Of course, he had a problem, too. But I solved his problem. Well, after I solved that problem, anything I wanted, he was willing to do.
Well, they took a liking to you because you were establishing a good record. You have a number of people to thank along the way, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. All my life. You know, again, I probably worked in this little grocery store by the time I was 8 or 9. 12, I was working in the drugstore, and 17 in the men's store. All those people are very important in my life.
And you saw people taking interest in you.
Oh, without question.
Personality, brains, all that kind of thing.
Hard-working kid.
Yes, which stands out because most kids want to be on the playground, yeah. And you can't blame them for that. You were an anomaly to a lot of these kids.
Yeah. But recognize, too, that was my generation. I probably, most probable to succeed, stood out. But that was my generation. We all worked hard.
Yeah.
And interesting, had we taken a vote of the person least likely to succeed, it would have been James Bumgarner, who became James Garner. And he succeeded beyond all of us.
Was he in your same class?
He's 1 year older.